It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific.
To give up our own oil and gas and buy the energy that we need from countries that hate us. So those countries that hate us will have more money to buy weapons to try to kill us.
Coast to coast and around the world from the America Out Loud Talk Radio studios.
Now, I realize you can't fix stupid, but you can vote it out.
It's time for Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
The stated goal of the resistance since November 2016 has been to take Donald Trump out. And they've tried everything. From the start of his presidency with that woman's march back in 2017 in January, the summer of love and the peaceful protests that followed, throw in that plandemic to crush the economy, to change the election laws, to usher in ballot boxes to change that election in 2020. One would think that would be enough, but it's not. The resistance won't stop until they financially destroy Trump or just put him in prison. They'd love that. And they're trying. You've got to give them credit for their effort and even their blatant disregard for the rule of law. Yet Trump, he's still fighting. I wouldn't be. I would be done by now. He doesn't have to. All he has to do is say, I'm not running for president. And you and I both know this would be over. The whole thing would be over. But he doesn't stop, does he? I'm Booker Scott, and welcome to The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out if diversifying your savings into precious metals like gold and silver is the right thing for you. That's BookerLikesGold.com. Now, in this hour, I want to go back to feature a story that I did on the organized resistance that started 1 week after the election in 2016, all the way back then, nearly 8 years ago, because I think this story is pretty important, because many are asking now about these college campuses. We see what's happening in Columbia. We see it at Harvard. We see it at the University of Texas now. So we're seeing it at college campuses all over where these college students are supporting Hamas, and they're calling for a ceasefire in Israel. And it's becoming a problem all over the country. We saw that Speaker Johnson went on Wednesday afternoon to Columbia University, and he had with him many people from the House of Representatives, and they are now calling for the president of Columbia to resign, and they may also ask for the National Guard to come in. So it's a huge problem. And many people are saying, well, this has to be organized. Even if you look at the tents at Columbia University, they all match. So all these kids went and bought the same tents at the same place at the same time? Yeah, I don't think so. I believe it's organized. And I'm going to get into how these things are organized. What is the money behind it? When I revisit this story that I did last July from a show called 13 Minutes. And I'll be doing that here in a few minutes. But first, let's talk about the latest coming from this Jack Smith case against Donald Trump in South Florida, because there are some startling documents coming out as the seal has been removed by Judge Cannon. Judge Cannon, down in South Florida, she was appointed by Donald Trump, and there is some pretty devastating prosecutorial misconduct by the Office of Special Prosecutor for the Department of Justice coming out. And Jack Smith's team, they had fought to keep this information from you, but Cannon decided to let you see inside the grand jury room and see these tactics that have been used by the corrupt OSC and the Department of Justice. Now, if you remember, this case is about the raid that happened at Mar-a-Lago and those classified documents they say that Donald Trump had. If you remember, Trump had taken documents from the White House, and that's normal. Every president does that. And from what I've been able to understand, the transition period between presidents moving in and moving out, it can be pretty hectic. You can only imagine. In fact, according to what I've read, a one-term president's transition out of the office is even more chaotic than that of someone that's been there for 8 years. So Trump's coming out, one-term president, and they are removing boxes of memos and documents. Everybody does that. Well, along the way, the National Archives wanted some documents back, and that office actually had been working with the Trump team in Mar-a-Lago to make that happen. And there'd been a lot of back and forth, and both sides seem to have been working with each other. And at one point, you may remember even the FBI had asked Trump to put a lock on a door where some of the documents were stored. And then things all changed with that raid by the FBI at Mar-a-Lago. So what changed? John Solomon of JustTheNews.com, he put out a piece this week. As these documents are coming out, he's writing about it. And this is about early collaboration between the National Archives and the Biden White House. There is now proof that the Biden White House has weaponized the Department of Justice. From the outside looking in, we all assume that, but now here comes the proof. According to Solomon, the Biden administration began working with the D.C. bureaucrats in the spring and the fall of 2021, only after they learned that Joe Biden had actually retained classified documents. Isn't that interesting? That would be the documents discovered in the Corvette at his home and in his office. They were finding them all over the place. Basically, everywhere, Joe Biden had classified documents. And remember, Joe Biden even bragged about these classified documents to his ghostwriter of that book that he wrote. That just came out a few weeks ago. Of course, there was a special counsel for the Joe Biden classified documents in Robert Hur, who eventually said Joe Biden couldn't remember what day of the week it is. And because of that, he would never be convicted in a trial. So he just let him off. No harm, no foul by that special counsel. And now back to this Solomon piece. He says that the Biden administration pushed for a prosecution of Trump with regard to these classified documents. That again, Trump had been working with the National Archives. They were working on turning them over. It was a hectic time in the White House when he came out, and then they stored them at Mar-a-Lago. The Archives wanted it. Trump's going to give them back. That's what's happening. Well, Judge Cannon's released documents show how the White House worked to make this happen with the National Archives. In an email dated May 5, 2021, which is almost exactly 3 years ago, it shows the National Archives had already consulted the White House a full year, prior to you, the public, learning about the classified memos. Here's an email from Archives attorney Gary Stern. Quote, I have had several conversations with Person 40, which is redacted, since the end of the Trump administration about various paper records that he believes were not transported to us. Now, that Person 40 was not revealed, but it was revealed that number 40 was part of the Biden administration. So there you have the National Archives communicating with the Biden White House. In August of 2021, archivist David Ferrero threatened to make referrals to the Department of Justice and Congress if the documents had been destroyed or not turned over soon to them. This is another quote from him. As you have seen in the press, the House has requested records. Our ability to respond requires access to the 24 boxes, which have yet to be accounted for. At this point, I am assuming that they have been destroyed, in which case I am obligated to report it to the Department of Justice and the Hill and the White House. Then, by September, Stern decided to draft a criminal referral against Trump to the Department of Justice. In one interview by the FBI with person number 53, again, number 53 is redacted, he said this, quote, in my years of experience, he understood NARA, or the National Archives, never had to make such a referral to the DOJ to accomplish such a task. Now remember, this is September 2021, and Stern says he had circulated this letter at the Department of Justice, which shows the Biden White House was in the loop on all of this. To back that up further, Stern wrote this email, quote, in addition, White House counsel is now also aware of the issue and has asked that I keep them in the loop, And while all of this was going on, Biden's team was trying to figure out what to do about Biden's own classified documents that he never had the authority to possess. And that's an important point. Here's a really important date and information. It was March 2021 when Biden assistant Annie Tomasini traveled to the UPenn Biden Center. If you remember, that's where all of those classified documents were found. And by the way, Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, Antony Blinken was the director at the UPenn Center where all of these classified documents were found. But let's go back again to this date because I think it's really important. In March 2021, that is when Annie Tomasini in the Biden administration traveled to the UPenn Biden Center so that she could take an inventory of the classified documents. Do you remember when the Biden administration claimed they found the documents? Well, let's go back to the 22 primary, 2022, just before the primary. That's when the story broke. Biden claimed the classified documents at UPenn Center were discovered on November 2nd, 2022. And he's such a liar.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Excuse me?
You know what I did? That's exactly right.
And that's Joe Biden, just on Tuesday this week in Tampa, speaking to some people about abortion. Did you know that? He drove an 18-wheeler. Joe Biden is a liar.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
And speaking of Joe Biden lying, and by the way, I'm going to get back to this story because it's important, but I saw Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. She put this post out on social media on Wednesday afternoon that The Federalist has been keeping a tally of how many times Joe Biden has lied during his presidency. At this point, 352 and counting. Joe Biden has lied 352 times in a little over 3 years as president of the United States. So you can clearly see how these two men, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, are being treated completely different by the justice system. And that's what so many people are frustrated about. There isn't equal justice under the law when it comes to these two people. You know, Trump really had the right to have these classified documents. He was a president. Joe Biden never had the right to have classified documents. What Biden did with classified documents, it's illegal. He never had the authority to have classified documents at any time, ever. And by January of 2022, Stern consulted with the deputy White House counsel, Jonathan Suh, who told him to go directly to a couple of people in the Department of Justice. He said to go directly to Associate Deputy Attorney General Emily Loeb and also David Newman. And from that, the Trump investigation was born. So it was with direct contact and at the order from the Biden administration. Did you catch that? I'll go through it again if you didn't. Again, January 2022, Stern consulted the deputy White House counsel, Jonathan Suh, who told him to go directly to two specific people inside the Department of Justice. And that's how the Trump investigation into the Mar-a-Lago classified documents started. Later in 2022, Attorney General Merrick Garland would approve an official investigation and appoint Jack Smith, which gets us here to the grand jury and the tactics used by Smith and one of the lead prosecutors for Jack Smith. That guy's name is Jay Bratt. Oh, I should also point out that Biden wrote a specific letter waiving all of Trump's executive privileges when it came to the classified documents. So do you still think there's equal justice in America? And if they can do this to Trump, you better believe they can do it to you. Now, mainstream media has made a big deal out of a guy named Walt Nauta. Nauta is actually a driver for Donald Trump down in South Florida, and that's really all he is. Maybe they have a close relationship, but he's not a confidant. He's not someone in the inner circle. But mainstream media has made it sound that he is, and that he's a key witness in all of this with the classified documents with Donald Trump. Well, the unsealed records detail allegations that Jay Bratt, this attorney for Jack Smith, who is the lead prosecutor in the classified docs case, he threatened Stanley Woodward. Now, Woodward is the attorney for Walt Nauta, who the mainstream media thinks is a big, big flip in this. And apparently this attorney, Woodward, could have become a judge if appointed by Joe Biden. And this is what happened when Bratt comes in to question Nauta. Upon Mr. Woodward's arrival at Maine Justice, he was led to a conference room where Mr. Bratt awaited with what appeared to be a folder containing information about Mr. Woodward. Mr. Bratt thereupon told Mr. Woodward he didn't consider him to be a, quote, Trump lawyer, unquote. And he further said that he was aware that Mr. Woodward had been recommended to President Biden for an appointment to the Superior Court of the District of Columbia. Mr. Bratt followed up with words to the effect of, I wouldn't want you to do anything to mess that up. So you can see how Bratt is strong-arming Woodward, trying to get him and his client to do something by holding that judgeship in Washington, D.C. over his head. Bratt also informed Woodward at that same time that the government, the DOJ, was interested in obtaining Nauta's potential cooperation and resolving his situation, meaning his, Nauta's situation, with being involved with these classified documents. You see how the Department of Justice works in these cases? And let me remind you that Jack Smith, he ran this investigation, all the questioning, in Washington, D.C. And then right before the indictment, he moved it to Florida, to South Florida, in Judge Cannon's courtroom. Here's another one for you, one more example. During the grand jury testimony of Tim Parlator, one of President Trump's attorney, an OSC prosecutor repeatedly attempted to force Mr. Parlator into disclosing information that is protected from disclosure by attorney-client privilege. And I think it was 42 times that this attorney said, that's attorney-client privilege. That's how many times the Department of Justice tried to get this attorney for Donald Trump to go against Donald Trump. And those are just some examples of how they have gone after Donald Trump. You know, I played a little clip there a few minutes ago of Joe Biden. Well, there was another one. This was from Tuesday afternoon. Pay attention to this one, because this guy actually, he reads the teleprompter. He's going to say, four more years and pause. Listen to the leader of the free world.
Four more years, pause.
Four more years, pause. 4 more years in this country is toast. Trust me on that one. Boy, Joe Biden, how can he even be the actual candidate for the Democrats? I don't know that he will. Who knows whether he will actually get there? Listen to this. Right now, it looks like the government's pushing for that digital dollar. And that could mean every penny you spend, it could be tracked and controlled by this government, by Joe Biden's government. If that's true, then your entire life could depend on people you don't know, like, or trust. That's why smart Americans are opting out and putting some of their savings into real gold and silver. So to help you, you can go to BookerLikesGold.com to get a free 2024 Gold IRA kit from my partners at Goldco. It's absolutely free. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com. You'll see a phone number there. Make sure you call that number and ask for your free Gold IRA kit. It shows you how to protect your hard-earned money with physical gold and silver, even if it's still in a retirement account. And as an American citizen, you could get up to $10,000 in free silver just for safeguarding your savings. At the very least, arm yourself with knowledge about your options. Don't be a sheep. Go to BookerLikesGold.com.
If you ask me, this whole world is gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life. place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe. Air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Well, coming up now, I'm going to try to make a little bit of sense out of what's happening on college campuses around the country. It's growing. I think 200 college campuses now where there are kids protesting in support of Hamas, Islamic jihadists. It doesn't make much sense, does it? It's hard to understand. And the question comes, is this coordinated? If you remember last week, there was protests. They shut down the Golden Gate Bridge, and this was happening all over the country. Chicago O'Hare Airport, they blocked traffic there. And yes, this was 100% coordinated. I'm going to get into exactly how they coordinate this, where the money comes from, and the organizations in just a few minutes when I play for you part of an old show that goes back to July of last year, and it actually goes back to November of 2016, in a meeting that took place at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel 1 week after Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. And this was the resistance. It was organized. Everything that we saw, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. But what's happening here on college campuses? James Lindsay put this out on social media Wednesday afternoon, and he says, in communist lingo, what you are currently seeing on college campuses is called direct action. The cause they're pretending to care about, Palestine, in quotes, is called a mass line, and indoctrinating them to this point is called an active measure. So that's what you're seeing. So what did Marco Rubio say about this and what's happening on the college campus?
Like, here goes, we say justice, you say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. The situation has gotten so intolerable that just 2 days ago, a rabbi advised Jewish students to leave Columbia University and go home for their safety. This morning, I got a text message from a friend, a Jewish friend, and I read something I never thought I would ever have to read. Here's what he wrote me. Quote, I have to tell you, for the first time in my life, I see Jewish people scared for their safety and considering exit strategies from the USA, including buying homes in foreign countries and looking to liquidate USA assets. I never thought I would ever read that from anybody in America. These mobs, by the way, don't just want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy America. Some of these mobs are out there chanting death to America in the streets of American cities. And as one of the mob leaders at one of these riots, this is what he said to a microphone. Quote, "It's not just Genocide Joe that has to go. It is the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and devilry to happen and would support it. Such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." You know what system he's talking about? This system, our system, of government. That's what he was talking about.
That's Florida Senator Marco Rubio from the Senate floor there. And it was on Wednesday afternoon that Speaker Mike Johnson and several other congressmen and women that went to Columbia. And Columbia University is out of control. They had a meeting with the president of Columbia University, and they also had a meeting with Jewish students. And you heard there Marco Rubio say a rabbi had told the students at Columbia University to leave. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson.
Visionary American leaders like Alexander Hamilton and John Jay and the Jewish leader Gershom Scheiches knew the self-evident truth that was at the heart of this country. At the heart of this university, that is that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. They should not be infringed. The founders and the great leaders who had come through this institution in the past believed in religious liberty. They believed in democracy. They believed in morality and virtue and the dignity of every human person. They believed in the free exchange of ideas, and they detested mob rule. We are standing here right now on the steps of the Lowe Library. In this very building right behind us, Columbia University once awarded Winston Churchill an honorary degree, and it was Churchill who said, "It is manifestly right that Jews should have a national home where they may be reunited." We believe in that principle. And today I'm here to proclaim to all those who gnash their teeth and demand to wipe the state of Israel off the map and attack our innocent Jewish students, this simple truth: neither Israel nor these Jewish students on this campus will ever stand alone. Today, Hamas issued an endorsement statement of the protesters on this campus. They called them the future leaders of America. It is detestable. All of this has to be said because the cherished traditions of this university are being overtaken right now by radical and extreme ideologies. They place a target on the backs of Jewish students in the United States and here on this campus. A growing number of students have chanted in support of terrorists. They have chased down Jewish students. They have mocked them and reviled them. They have shouted racial epithets. They have screamed at those who bear the Star of David. Enjoy your free speech. They've told Jewish students who wear the Star of David to leave the country. And shamefully, some professors and faculty have joined the mobs. Things have gotten so out of control that the schools canceled in-person classes, and now they've come up with this hybrid model where they will discriminate against Jewish students. They are not allowed to come to class anymore for fear of their lives, and it's detestable. As Columbia has allowed these lawless agitators and radicals to take over, the virus of anti-Semitism has spread across other campuses. By some counts, as many as 200 universities have a similar form of protest right now.
Mike Johnson and other congressmen and women there, they went on to say that they had had that meeting with the president of Columbia University, and they are asking for her resignation because she has no intentions, according to them, to stop this. She has lost complete control and has no plan nor desire to get control of these students. And really, probably most of them are not even students. They're probably paid organizers. They're paid protesters. And is it peaceful protesting? Is that everything that this is? I don't think so. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson with more on that.
At Yale, a Jewish student was stabbed in the eye with a Palestinian flag, and 45 students were arrested. At NYU, pro-Hamas protesters were shouting from the river to the sea. Anti-Israel encampments are popping up at universities all across this country. The madness has to stop. The madness has to stop. We just left a meeting with students, Jewish students, who told us of the heinous acts of bigotry that they have experienced simply because of their faith. Their bravery is inspiring, much more inspiring than some of the activities we're seeing here. And they should never have to confront such hate on an American college campus. It's such a revered institution. Anti-Semitism has been growing in America, and it's clear why. Powerful people have refused to condemn it, and some have even peddled it themselves.
So like I said when we started this segment, I'm going to get into the coordination, the organization, the money, and the names. Names like Barack Obama, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Linda Sarsour. All of those names are going to be included in what I'm about to show you. And it's coming up in just a minute. But before I get to that, and I'm going to get to it right after I play this clip, but here is a student that had come from Columbia, and she ended up with a friend at NYU because they heard NYU students needed support. And listen to these two and the reason why they are there protesting. They have no understanding of what they are doing.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there off at Columbia.
It's time now to make sense of the things that we saw and we knew were wrong. Specifically, there was the Summer of Love. It seemed so organized and it was so wrong, but no one was stopping it and no one was saying it was wrong. Antifa was creating Chaz zones in the Northwest after burning down police stations, causing millions of dollars of damage to buildings, and there was loss of life. People died. The Summer of Love wouldn't have been complete without the BLM protests over George Floyd. Of course, the thousands that entered the streets at night in places like New York peacefully protesting, I'll put quotes around that, they weren't worried about COVID, were they? No masks in sight, no 6 feet separation. And even before those events in 2020, there was the Women's March in Washington, D.C. Remember that? That was at the very beginning of Donald Trump's presidency in 2017. Yes, that also was coordinated by the same people and the same money. I believe it's important for us to understand the forces behind the destruction of a presidency, both from within our government and from those individuals that had the power to gain and at the same time the power to take from the people that elected an outsider to represent them. Really, to understand all of this, we have to remember back to the late 90s and what was going on in Serbia and Yugoslavia. From 1998 to 2000, a civic protest group moved into a movement, and they did it to overthrow Slobodan Milosevic. This group was started by students in the name of democracy. How often do we hear the word democracy thrown around? And it was called Otpor. The word Otpor means resistance. Do you remember resistance? Do you remember how that word was used? Early after the election in 2016, that resistance hashtag became popular on social media. And many were proud to be in the resistance to Donald Trump. It became part of their lives, the resistance, or Otpor. And it wasn't organic. It was completely planned. So who was behind it? If I gave you five guesses right now, you'd probably be able to name about three of them. I want to credit this research and reporting for helping on this and doing a lot of the work to an anonymous source and a friend that can be followed on Twitter at Pepes Grandma. That's Pepes, P-E-P-E-S, Grandma. If you follow that account, you won't be disappointed. November 8th, 2016 was the election that Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. Who could forget it? Hillary was supposed to win. She knew she would win. And she even said, if we don't win, we're all going down. So instead of going down and being held accountable for all that they had done, they went to work with the resistance. They became the resistance. The timeline, it's important in this story because the election was lost a week before the annual meeting of the Democracy Alliance. Between November 8th and November 15th of 2016, the agenda was changed for this meeting and plans were put into motion to create what we witnessed the next 4 years. The Democracy Alliance meeting took place at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, and after Trump won the election on November 8th, a new itinerary was written for this meeting. And that same itinerary mentions that George Soros was the founding partner of Democracy Alliance. A couple of months ago, I had Matt Palumbo as a guest, and he mentioned that it's Soros-backed organizations that actually do the work that we witness. And he said it's important that we understand who these organizations are, who these actors are. In fact, Palumbo wrote the book, Man Behind the Curtain, George Soros.
You know, part of what motivated me to write the book was, you know, he's a character where everyone sort of has an idea he's behind things. Like, you can go to any internet comment section whenever there's a protest and there's someone saying, you know, I bet Soros is behind this. And, you know, a lot of the time they're right. But, you know, I kind of felt like there's a lot of information out there, but no one person has just kind of gone through it all and synthesized it and just put it in one coherent format. And, you know, as I've kind of learned from a Managing Bongino report, you know, the news aggregator that you alluded to, there's definitely a lot of value, I think, in just stripping down information when there's so much in the world. So that was my goal with the book, was just say, all right, here's all these things Soros is, you know, accused of doing. And, you know, here's, you know, the reality. And the reality is, you know, even the craziest sounding conspiracy about the guy is, I use the term directionally correct. They, you know, all the details might not be completely accurate, but generally speaking, he does enjoy a very big you know, army of influence.
On November 15th, 2016, this yearly meeting started with the Soros-backed Democracy Alliance at the helm as the chief organizer of it. Also there, Barack Obama's OFA and many other as partners. At this meeting, they pushed, guess what? The Russian conspiracy, that Russia had hacked the election, which we now know was a complete lie, and you ever wonder where that came from? Remember, it was Hillary Clinton and this whole bunch that started the lie of the Russian collusion. David Brock, that may be a name that you've heard before. His organization is Media Matters, and they were there too. Brock has written such books as The Fox Effect, The Republican Noise Machine, The Killing the Messenger. This group at the meeting put out a call to use anti-capitalist Working Family Party to be the main organizer of all these organizations. There was also Linda Sarsour. She was there. She was the organizer of the Women's March in January 2017. And it's safe to say that if you were anti-capitalist, pro-socialist, and anti-American, you were at this meeting November 15th, 2016, again, 1 week after the election. Soros's Democracy Alliance used to be a major funder at the anti-capitalist Acorn. Does that ring a bell with you? Yep, that's the same Acorn that Obama worked with as a trainer. Now, the Democracy Alliance funds the Working Families Party, which is really just a front for Acorn. The WFP was started by Acorn members, including Barack Obama. The anti-capitalist group New Party, which Obama was a member, was the predecessor of WFP. If you remember Occupy Wall Street, that was the Working Families Party that supported that effort and funded it. Also, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, she's part of the Working Families Party, and Soros directly funded AOC. Obama has a couple of other organizations worth mentioning here also. Obama's specific resistance organization is Indivisible, and you guessed it, George Soros funded it. It was also funded by Solidaire Networks. Co-founder there is Leah Hunt Hendricks and LinkedIn's Reid Hoffman. Reid Hoffman, does that sound familiar? Well, he funded a Russian bot campaign against Roy Moore in his race for the U.S. Senate from the state of Alabama. It's interesting, the Democrats always do what they accuse others of doing. In this case, it is no conspiracy theory. Hoffman even apologized for what he had done in 2018. You can read all about it. Just Google that scam of Hoffman and the Russian bots. Back to the Women's March in January 2017. Who funded that? Well, it was Obama's Indivisible and his Move On organizations, which again is funded by George Soros. And what about Antifa? I mentioned them a few minutes ago. Well, the Houston Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, were allied with Obama's Indivisible. And it was the DSA, the Democrat Socialists of America, that took on the militant wing of Antifa. Now let's add another group to the mix, the Solidaire group. Solidaire was technically already connected to the Soros Democracy Alliance, and it was funded by Proteus Fund, which had its Piper Fund partnered with Soros. The interesting part about Solidaire is it had already established a rapid response prior to the 2016 election. But that plan was changed and given steroids after Trump won. There are the actors and the organizations. Now, what did they do at that meeting on November 15th, 2016? They came together to create a new organization, the Emergent Fund. And what was it? It was a rapid response fund to help move quick resources. That means money for bricks planted in certain cities where riots were going to happen. Remember that? This Emergent Fund is run by Proteus Fund, which coordinates the efforts of state, local, and national activist groups. Also, right after this meeting, George Soros announced on his own website that he started a rapid response fund as well. So what about Hillary Clinton in this picture? Well, after she licked her wounds and made her rounds on television explaining how she lost the election because it was stolen by Russian bots, which, of course, was discredited in the Mueller report, she formed a group called Onward Together in May of 2017. It was run by Anthony Weiner's ex, Uma Abedin, and they immediately joined and partnered with Obama's resistance organization, Indivisible. Again, this resistance was much more than a hashtag or something people put in their bio on social media. As you're hearing, it was an elaborate web of money and ever-growing organizations. And keep in mind, as these organizations were causing division in the country to spread lies and rumors about Donald Trump, the FBI, Mueller, and a Pelosi Congress was impeaching Trump at the same time. Remember the Serbian oat pour? Well, the founders of that coup held training for this very resistance. Those guys from way back then in 98 to 2000 were the ones that trained and even had a guidebook. There was a playbook on how to help these organizations, to recruit new organizations, and help remove President Trump from office. Don't take my word for it. Take it from them. Here's an excerpt directly from the Resistance Guide. The Resistance Guide has the slogan, "How to Sustain the Movement to Win," on the front cover. Here's some of what it says. What if you knew millions of people like you had small groups they could count on to encourage and nurture their political activity, keeping them inspired and moving forward? We could take back Congress and our state legislatures. We could block Trump's agenda, remove him from office, and ignite a progressive revolution. Again, this is in 2016, right after the election, and they are talking about sparking a progressive revolution. Again, like the World Economic Forum, they don't hide what they want to do or who they are. They're socialists. They're socialists that wanted a revolution to overthrow a president. And guess what? It worked. Now, back to that resistance guide, word for word now. Quote, "The first step is training. We have developed the Resistance Guide training program and would love for you to sign up for one today at guidingtheresistance.org. Many other groups offer mass trainings. You'll be able to form your own group just like those that advanced the civil rights movement or overthrow, here it comes, or overthrow Milosevic in Serbia." That's Otpor, or resistance. It was a well-funded, remarkably coordinated, successful attempt to smear a president, destroy energy independence, low inflation, wage growth, and a more secure border. As we were watching what media called mostly peaceful protest in the summer of 2020, we knew it didn't feel right. What you've heard here is the reason why it wasn't right. It was an intentional attempt to overthrow a duly elected American government. In combination with the impeachments, the FBI, the election, January 6th, simultaneously alongside this massive socialist operation, Trump absolutely had no chance. And we had no chance either.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutLoud.news. Now is our time. My fellow Americans, America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to the program here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Don't forget to go to AmericaOutLoud.news, where you can find great content, great podcasts, and articles. Every afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio, you can hear attorney Tom Renz. He's followed by the Constitutional Study with Paul Engle. And then at 5 o'clock, it's America Out Loud Pulse. My name is Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. I'm always telling people to get busy, make a difference, do something. What exactly does that mean? It's easy to sit around and talk about things that we could do, but I thought it might be a good idea to bring a couple of people in here that are actually doing something, grassroots, boots on the ground, getting things accomplished and getting done, to hopefully give you some encouragement that things are happening in the country. And not only that, maybe give you an idea of some things that you can do. We have Alex from Connecticut and Michael Curry from New Jersey, a couple of American patriots that have been busy on the ground doing things that you really can't see, but things that we all should appreciate. Alex, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Booker. Excited to be here today. This is great. Thank you.
Great to have you. And Michael Curry from New Jersey. Michael, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us. I appreciate the interview.
Let's just start with, we'll start with Michael. Tell us some things that you have been able to do in New Jersey and accomplish. And then later we'll talk about some steps that you have taken and some other resources that are available. But let's start the conversation with some of the things that you have been able to accomplish.
Well, one of the biggest things recently was this this book ban bill that was trying to be introduced to our state. And we had a lot of people come together, including Alex here, and we really boots in the ground, used the Twitter handles to push emails, push phone numbers, and really was an amazing effort and great community collaboration where we got it stalled. And hopefully next month we get it stalled again, or even ended. So it was a great effort. And that was just something recently just happened with us.
Yeah. In fact, I featured that on one of my shows in the last few nights, was that bill in New Jersey. Explain to everybody what that was, probably better than what I did. And then something else that's very important is you had a win, and it was a big win, but you can't stop because you just mentioned it may come back next month. I think on the show the other night I mentioned that next year when the legislature is meeting again, it could come back up. So it's important to keep that foot on the gas pedal too, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. It this isn't just in New Jersey. It's happening all over the country, and it's crazy. You know, you have to keep your head on the swivel because they'll let it like lie for about 3 months, and then all of a sudden there it is, and under a different name, and then snuck right through. Mm-hmm. So you have to just keep checking your bills every single week, sometimes multiple times a week, because you never know what the heck they're putting out there.
What was the bill specifically?
Oh, I'm so sorry. That bill was known as the Freedom to Read Bill, mm-hmm. and we call it the Freedom to Groom Bill because, in fact, it allowed librarians to be given immunity for pushing obscenities in libraries. It gave them means to be paid by the government if they were deemed themselves to be harassed, quote unquote, then could sue parents and then get money from the government if they were deemed harassed. And then basically the worst part was it chilled the First Amendment speech rights of parents that want to push back on this nonsense. I mean, just the fact that you're trying to hide the information, you know, I mean, stall the information from I'm so sorry about that. Basically block parents from these obscenities is completely and utterly insane.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's an upside down world that we're living in. But it's interesting that you said that it was through social media. You bring recognition to that bill that it was coming, and then it was an effort to push the information out. I want both of you to give your Twitter handles or X handles. I'm never going to get used to X, I don't believe. It's like the classic Coke and the new Coke with me. It's always going to be Twitter, and my posts are always going to be tweets. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Let's go to Alex in Connecticut. Alex, talk a little bit about the things that you have been involved with, and then some of the strategies that you use.
Sure. So up here, I'm actually in Massachusetts, but I do a lot of work in Connecticut with several outstanding individuals. But up here in Mass, I have been able to do a lot of things locally in my community in terms of getting policies changed in our school district, stopping different book fairs that have been coming in. But most recently, over the summer and early fall, I went to our state house and testified in support and in opposition of several different pieces of legislation pertaining to curriculums, the books again up here, and parental rights. Right now, we were able to get two of those parental right bills, one pertaining to education and the other one pertaining to the vaccines requirements in schools, to actually go back to study. So they didn't even leave committee, which is an outstanding thing, because now they really need to take the time to read through this legislation. And it gives us, the residents of the Commonwealth, some more time to get our public comments in there, whether it's through email or calling our legislators to tell them how we are opposed to these different bills. And recently as well, we formed a Massachusetts K through 12 grassroots coalition, and we just held our second summit about 2 weeks ago, and it has been outstanding, bringing individuals together from across the aisle, young, old, in between, all different professions, and some not even having children in the school systems. And we're really going to be tackling this gender ideology in our schools. How they're manipulating students into this, how they are keeping parents out of it with different policies in schools, as well as trying to push legislation through that. So we're really busy up here in Mass, but we're making slow and steady progress, just like in New Jersey.
Alex and Michael, this will be for both of you guys. I'm going to make an assumption that you have not always been awake, but there was something that triggered you guys to become active and involved. What was the thing for you, Michael, that said, I'm going to go do something?
Well, it was April 2020, And Governor Murphy put COVID-positive patients into nursing homes, and so did five other states, including my original home state of Pennsylvania. And I lived in Philadelphia, and my great-grandmother died in a nursing home with no one around her, never even seen her, went to her funeral, never saw her body, nothing. And that really, really pissed me off. And so many others around the country, the same thing happened. And ever since then, just been snowballing. And it was very small at some point. It was, I got on Twitter talking about the BLM riots and then COVID, and I deal with masking. So masking was a big thing, going to BOE meetings, and then eventually just then doing spaces and then starting to put out people's phone numbers for legislators and making videos. And it's just, you know, one thing leads to another, and one person leads to another, and you network, and then eventually you just grow your channel. And Alex has really been a big help with that and helped me out with different things. And I really always appreciate her with that.
Alex, was there a triggering event for you to maybe bring you to this point where you're so active?
Yep. It was March 2021.
You guys both remember the dates.
February 2021. And at the time, Governor Baker and the commissioner for DESE decided to lift the mask mandate. However, what the governor did, which was very slick at the time, is they put it on the individual school districts to then decide whether or not they were going to keep their policy or whether they were going to adjust it or get rid of it altogether. My hometown, Wakefield, they decided we had heard rumblings, they were going to extend it. So 100 of us actually showed up to a school board meeting. That's probably the largest I've seen since my kids have been in school, and we've been there since 2018. The board picked me to talk first, and I am very logical in my approach. And I just sat and listed the 10 things I would do if they did not end the policy right then and there. One of which was I would run for school board if I couldn't afford the lawn signs.
But why
the
not?
Other
one why
pulling
not?
Their bonds.
You might as well run for it. If they're not going to do what you want them to do, then do it yourself.
Yep. And I have Booker twice, actually. I ended up doing it that year. I left that meeting and, you know, I had like 50, 60 messages on Facebook saying, we will buy your lawn signs. And it's snowballed since then. And I've been nonstop ever since. I lost twice, but that's not going to stop me from running again this year.
Good for you.
But, you know, they extended it, unfortunately. And I was one of two parents who showed up to the next meeting where they ended it. And I actually wrote the verbiage for the school district for the new policy. but it was great to be able to see what we can do when we come together as a community and put pressure on our elected officials. So it was a big win up here.
And there are a couple of American patriots that are working hard to make a difference in the grassroots. And you can make a difference too. Don't sell yourself short. There's still time between now and November to make a difference. So make sure you plug in and try to make a difference somewhere in your own community. My name is Booker Scott, and thank you so much for joining us here and finding us on a podcast, if that's how you listen to us. And remember, you were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth, and salt without flavor, it has no value. So whatever you do, keep being salty. Have a great night. Unleash the Political News Hour. It's next.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.